Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, please visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And of course, we always invite you to visit our blog at www.blueprintforwealth.com. .org, where there are all kinds of audio, video, and written topics on estate, tax, and business planning topics that may be of interest to you. So please visit the blog, and if you want, you can subscribe to it so whenever a blog is posted, you'll be notified and you can visit us on the web. The first topic today that we're going to be talking about is accounting tips. What about generally accepted accounting principles? How about the method of accounting you should use as a business? And of course, I'm always prone to list the top 10 biggest accounting mistakes that people make. Every day, accountants make judgments about how to record business transactions. That, of course, is the language of accounting. And accountants often base their decisions on the financial objectives of companies for whom they work. Other times, they turn to generally accepted accounting principles, also referred to as GAAP, G-A-A-P, to steer their decisions. Now, GAAP is not a fixed set of rules. It is a set of guidelines, rather, and more precisely, a set of objectives and conventions that accountants have used over time to govern how financial statements are prepared and how reports are presented. The Financial Accounting Standards Board, which really governs the issuance of pronouncements in the accounting world, the American Institute of CPAs, and the Securities and Exchange Commission all provide guidance about acceptable accounting practices in the U.S. Overseas, accounting firms and accountants use different standards depending on where they're located. But a generally evolving concept is that international financial accounting standards is taking over the world and may replace GAAP as the convention that's used in the U.S. for publicly traded companies in the not-too-distant future. Now, every business that wants anyone outside the company to look at its financial data and trust it should consider using GAAP. So that's one good reason to apply GAAP to your financial statements. Compliance with GAAP helps maintain credibility with banks, with other creditors, and with your stockholders because it gives some kind of assurance to the outsiders that a company's financial reports accurately portray its financial position. Also, anyone who reads your financial statements, stockholders, creditors, security analysts, and other companies are going to assume that reports comply with GAAP unless you tell them otherwise. CPAs, certified public accountants, routinely audit companies to determine if their financial statements are prepared in accordance with GAAP. These audit findings, are typically included with the company's financial statements or financial reports. And the findings are typically referred to as an audit opinion or an audit report. If the opinion is unqualified, then the accountant who is auditing the financial statements is giving the company a clean bill of health and stating that they fairly represent the financial position of the company. There's been some discussion in recent years about doing away with GAAP. Some of the criticism stems from the challenge that GAAP poses to small businesses. Still, banks and finance companies often require their clients to use GAAP or have audited financial statements, which basically say that the financials are prepared in accordance with GAAP. And investors who are accustomed to using financial information, well, they're going to want to use audited financials or financial information prepared according to GAAP. If they don't meet GAAP standards, the investors may not be comfortable with your financials. The next step in evaluating your accounting systems is to determine the method of accounting that you're going to use to report your financial transactions. For accounting purposes, the best method and the most frequently used one, regardless of the type of business, except maybe for doctors, lawyers, and accountants in small practices, is the accrual basis of accounting. Cash basis accounting, by contrast, may distort the true operations of business and incorrectly reflect the income of the business. Cash basis accounting recognizes income when you receive the cash. Accrual basis accounting recognizes income when goods are shipped or services are rendered, such as an invoice being sent out. Under the cash method, an expense is recognized when it's paid. Under the accrual method, an expense is recognized when the business is obligated to pay for it. So, let me give you an example. Let's say in a given time period, in a year, you collect hardly any receivables that you've billed for. You generate a receivable after you've rendered the services, and you send out an invoice. And let's say you also pay lots of bills. Under the cash method account of accounting, you have expense without income, or a loss. On the other hand, if you collect a lot of cash but don't pay your bills, you may have big income. That's a major distortion of what's actually occurred, isn't it? Accrual basis accounting doesn't care whether you've collected or paid your bills. Income, whether it's received or not, is matched as an expense, paid or not, resulting in a proper matching of revenue with the expense generated to produce the revenue. This provides a true picture of operations as compared to the cash method. So, most people who care about the accuracy of their financial statements use the accrual basis method of accounting. Yet, for tax purposes, most service providers prefer to use the cash basis method, and you can and are permitted to use different methods for financial reporting and for tax purposes. Now, I want to tell you the top 10 accounting mistakes that most small businesses make. Number one, not saving receipts of less than $75. While these receipts may not be required by the IRS, they provide backup documentation for many deductions you might claim. It's a simple thing to do, and it's well advised to do it. Number two, doing it yourself. No matter how much you hate it, many small business owners insist on handling the books themselves. But having a competent bookkeeper come in and handle the books may be extremely beneficial because they'll have the skills to do the job quickly and efficiently and gives you the time to really focus on your business and not on the administrative side of it. Treating employees as independent contractors. This may result in a misfiling when it comes to filing your taxes because there are different rules that apply to employees and independent contractors. Check out our website for an archived version of a radio show that talks about this very important issue and a video as well. Having somebody handle your bookkeeping is only effective if they're filled in and kept up to date on all financial transactions. A frequent mistake is paying somebody a bonus, not reporting it, or buying supplies and not providing the bookkeeper with the information or the receipts. They need backup. Number six, not reconciling the books with the bank statements every month. That can lead to disastrous results. Number seven, not backing up your computer information. This happened to me in my personal life when we were recording all kinds of financial transactions on a computer without properly backing it up. I learned the lesson, back up your information. Number eight, not deducting sales tax from the sales of products or services that require it. That's a common mistake in retail businesses, and this results in a higher total sales amount and doesn't lower the amount of taxes due. Number nine, being careless with petty cash. Your system should be set up where there's a set amount of money in petty cash, and each time money's taken out for any purpose, a petty cash slip is filled out and put in its place. When the fund is exhausted, the slip should total the original amount in petty cash, and a check can then be written to cash and set up the full amount again. This is just good bookkeeping and accounting practice. Many offices are nonchalant about this and use their petty cash fund without keeping accurate records. This could lead to problems with the IRS or your auditor later on. And number 10, miscategorizing or overcategorizing. There are fairly standard categories for expenses that we use in business today. We often set them up in the form of a chart of accounts. However, expenses are often entered into the wrong categories, or you may have too many categories for the types of expenses that you have, where they could be combined into a single line item. Use general bookkeeping guidelines for standard categorization and create as few new categories as possible. And try, please try, at all costs to follow generally accepted accounting principles. Now, I'm a CPA, but not a practicing CPA. And so if you need some help in getting a referral to a competent CPA, please call us at 703-218-2100. If you'd like to learn more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, please visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And of course, if you'd like to hear old radio shows or see some videos or read about topics of interest in the estate, tax, and business planning arenas, please visit my blog at www.blueprintforwealth.org, and you can subscribe to it, and we'll send you a notice every time a blog is posted. You're listening to Blueprint for Wealth on AM 1500.